You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, Bengals fans, our worst fears have come to fruition this week as the Cincinnati Bengals not only lose the game to the Washington football team, but they lose their star franchise rookie quarterback, Joe Burrow, for definitely the rest of 2020. And we'll see how it goes into 21 for his rehab, etc. I'm Anthony Cazenza. Thanks for joining us. Whether you're tuning in to the Cincy Jungle postgame show via our Twitter account at BengalsOBI, the Cincy Jungle Facebook page, or our YouTube channel, we thank you for tuning in. Sorry I got on a little late. Not only was I trying to process just everything and what to say and what to present, usually I kind of have a flow of how a postgame show goes, and we talk about stats, we talk about all kinds of different things, but some personal stuff kind of popped up, and on top of that, I just kind of was prepping for the show and trying to see where we would go today, and I guess it's just kind of virtual hug time, Bengals fans, virtual hug time. Just let's hug it out, try and get through it. You can see in a number of different ways how much, if you didn't already know, you can see in a number of different ways how much Joe Burrow meant to this Bengals team. Emotionally, leadership, and when you saw Ryan Finley enter the game, you could see not only the difference in arm talent and all of that, processing the field, but you began to see how much Joe Burrow was able to mask the deficiencies up front on the offensive line. Ryan Finley, and we'll go through those numbers, I guess, too, but Ryan Finley got sacked a number of times because he was not only not processing the field all that well, and granted, he was thrown into a tough position. I think the entire team was jarred from everything that happened. He's thrown in the middle of the third quarter. He also is a guy that is a second-year guy, three starts to his name before that. No preseason this year for him either. No training camp, no preseason games where he would get a lot of work, so hey, I mean, Ryan Finley, it wasn't a day in the park for him either. And I don't want to pile on him, but my point is when you look at Joe Burrow and the difference between Joe Burrow and Ryan Finley under center, you were able to see what Joe Burrow was able to hide in terms of the offensive line issues, his ability to maneuver the pocket, his ability to avoid pressure. He took a lot of hits, and some of those were on Joe Burrow. I mean, he ran into sacks, he ran into plays. He took a lot of hits, and you know, even so, you can see the difference in this in quarterbacks, obviously, between those two and what Joe Burrow meant to this team. There are a lot of different ways to take this. You know, there are people who are just really sad. There are people who are upset at the team and upset that they continue to put their franchise quarterback behind this, you know, an offensive line that continued to. I mean, it showed some improvement in recent weeks, but still not up to what I think most people would feel are standard offensive line play for the NFL, especially in the AFC North. You could be angry at the coaches. You could be angry at management. Some folks are very cynical and are just saying, you know, I told you this day was going to come, and they're almost, I don't know if you want to say gloating in the fact that this occurred, but you know, there's no really, I guess, a right way to take it. It's just it's a real bummer, and it's a real blow to this Bengals team that has really in the last 15 to 18 years, 17 years, they have had a real rough stretch. They've done a really good job of finding franchise quarterbacks, Carson Palmer, Andy Dalton, and now Joe Burrow, but they have had been absolutely snake bit in terms of major injuries to all of these guys and at critical points in their various careers. You can go back to Palmer in 05. Palmer again was hurt in training camp of 09, and he had the elbow thing in 08. He kind of got battered by in Cincinnati, and then Dalton, a couple of injuries later in his career, including in 2015 when they had that playoff run there, and he was having an MVP-like season, and now you've got Joe Burrow in his first season with a torn – by the way, the reports, in case you aren't – if you haven't heard, the reports are that it is a torn ACL and possibly more for Joe Burrow, and I'll share this in just a second. There is an article up on cincyjungle.com about it. So I had just briefly stepped out of the room when I was watching the game when this happened. So I didn't see the play. All of a sudden I just see him crumpled to the ground. I'm going, oh my gosh, what happened? So I rewatched, unfortunately I rewound real quick just to be like, what the heck happened? And it was pretty gruesome. I didn't rewatch because it was something I wanted to see. I was just wondering what happened. A lot of people are talking about the Palmer, you know, in comparison to Palmer's injury against Pittsburgh. My main difference that I notice here, by the way, I'm sharing the screen. Here's Joe Burrow, unfortunately, being carted off. And you see article by Adam Haste on cincyjungle.com. Joe Burrow suffered a torn ACL and possibly more damage versus Washington. Talking about the Palmer thing, you know, Palmer had just one player roll into his knee. This was at least two, maybe even three people that were just involved in this collision with Joe Burrow. It was pretty gruesome. And you knew right away that something really bad if you saw the play or whatever, you pretty much knew it was something really bad. So unfortunately, the Bengals will be without Joe Burrow, who was really becoming a shining star, not only for the Bengals, but in the league. If you listened right before he got injured at halftime during the show, Boomer Esiason and Bill Cowher were both gushing about him. And Chase Young, by the way. Chase Young looked very good today. They were beaming about both of these guys in a game that really featured just two-win teams. But, you know, Bill Cowher saying that he's, you know, one of the best young rookie quarterbacks he has ever seen. And Bill Cowher, whatever your personal thoughts about him, because he's a Steelers coach, I think he knows a thing or two about quarterbacks and football and AFC North, all of that stuff. So, you know, pretty high praise from him. Obviously, Boomer gushing about him as well. And unfortunately, not too much longer after that, Joe Burrow suffered an injury. Unfortunately, we're probably now going to see something that greatly resembles the 2019 Cincinnati Bengals. Ryan Finley at quarterback, a lot of injured players, a lot of important injured players, and probably not a win-loss record that will be very much different than the 2-14 we saw last year. Unfortunately, you know, Joe Burrow really was kind of the driving force of really making the Bengals somewhat watchable this year. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, T. Higgins has been a nice player and a good draft pick for the Bengals. There's been some nice moments for this team. Jonah Williams looks like a pretty good player, and there's some other players there that you like to watch. But Joe Burrow was kind of the driving force in making you watch this team, and he's hurt now, and, you know, there was a stat that showed up. I've got it somewhere, but basically midway through the fourth quarter, since Burrow had left the game with the injury, about 7.5 minutes left in the game, the Bengals had 12 offensive plays that net 8 yards. I think that changed towards the end of the game. Maybe not, because I know Finley threw an interception late, but 12 offensive plays for 8 yards once Burrow left the game. And so not only does it show his impact on the field, but, you know, you saw the morale of the team really, obviously, really changed. Not only because guy got a gruesome injury, but also just because it was who got injured. And so it is what it is. I see a comment here. I'm not really sure where it went. No positivity now, huh, Anthony? No, there's not positivity now. I mean, I think we've all tried to maintain positive vibes for this team. I've been accused of being too positive, too negative, too emotional, whatever. Just a tough day. Tough day for to be a Bengals fan. Tough day to cover the team in the ways that I do. And, you know, tough day, obviously, for Joe Burrow. By the way, all class from Joe Burrow. And I'm going to share this here. This is from his Twitter account. Thanks for all the love. Can't get rid of me that easy. See you next year, was a tweet that he put out shortly after sustaining. I mean, I don't even think the game was done yet when he put that tweet out. So, you know, if there is, I guess, positives to be taken here, you know, Joe Burrow and his work ethic, his attitude, his chip that constantly resides on his shoulder as a competitor, you know he's going to be fierce in his rehab process. So we know that. We don't know how extensive this damage is quite yet. I mentioned earlier the torn ACL and maybe more. Obviously, the more there is, the longer this could take. I will say this. When Carson Palmer blew out two ligaments, I believe, and then also had a slight dislocation of his kneecap on that play by Kimo von Olhoffen. And this was 15 years ago. Palmer came back and played week one and played the entire season for the Cincinnati Bengals. And that was with medicine and surgery and all of that being, you know, talking about 15 years ago. So, you know, I think I hate to kind of frame this thing in a positive, but I guess those are things that you can look at and say, okay, well, Joe Burrow's mentality coupled with some advancements in the area of, you know, rehabilitation and whatnot, you know, you'd like to think that 21, he'll be back and no setbacks, that sort of thing. You'd also like to think, you know, unfortunately for Palmer, and I can't say you really blame him, I guess, but unfortunately for Palmer, there was a little bit of a semblance of happy feet after that injury. He had a couple of really nice years with the Bengals, a couple of really nice years with, you know, Raiders, Cardinals, that sort of thing statistically, but, you know, never really looked quite exactly like the 05 Palmer. And I think there were some happy feet there. I think I'd like to think that Joe Burrow up here maybe does not have that same mentality and isn't going to be like that. What's going to help is the Bengals getting obviously some offensive line help this offseason, whether it's in free agency or the draft or both, to shore up the offensive line. I've said this before. I think that the Cincinnati Bengals have tried to find kind of pet projects at certain positions on the offensive line and feel that they can use lesser draft capital at times, not go out and spend the big money on free agency at certain positions or retaining certain guys on the offensive line. There's a distinct possibility that, I mean, there is a reality that exists that Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler could still have been playing and starting for this team in 2020. And those were two of the Bengals' better linemen really of the last couple of decades. And they decided not to pay those guys. So, you know, at some point the Bengals are going to need to step up and not have so many developmental guys, not so many journeyman guys, not try to have guys that are round pegs and try and fit them into square holes or vice versa, whatever you want to call that up front. They need to have the guy at positions, and they can't do the musical chairs thing. They can't swap guys in and out. Continuity is huge. Obviously talent level is huge, but continuity is just absolutely critical on the offensive line. Trey Hopkins said it to the Cincinnati media this offseason, having continuity on the offensive line is key. And the Bengals have not had that really in the past couple of years. And the direct result, unfortunately, is high volume of hits, sacks, a couple of different quarterbacks being injured over the past handful of years. And, at some point, if you have your franchise quarterback, you have to protect him. I mean, I think I put a tweet out recently. It's like you get your franchise quarterback, you protect him, and you rush. You have to have the ability to rush the other team's quarterback. That's it. That's how you got to build the tent poles in your franchise. And the Cincinnati Bengals are lacking. They weren't lacking the franchise quarterback. They're lacking the other areas. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But now, unfortunately, it is kind of looking towards the draft, because I don't mean to be negative in saying this. I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be making a playoff run with Ryan Finley under center. I just don't see that happening. They've also got no Joe Mixon, and they've got other guys that are important that are out of the lineup. So I think we need to be realistic that it's probably looking to free agency in the draft already for 21. Even if that was maybe already the case with Joe Burrow under center, I think what was critical about these the last half of the schedule here, there were some winnable games. The team could make some progress, start to feel pretty good about itself, and get some wins under its belt under Zach Taylor. And you feel like you would have had some momentum going into 21. Now you've got a lot of question marks. You know, how ready is Joe Burrow going to be? How much improvement has the team made? And, you were hoping that championship window was maybe going to start really opening in 21. And now there's a lot of questions that exist. We're going to go over the tail of the tape here in just a second. I'm Anthony Cazenza with CincyJungle.com. Thanks for tuning in here. I know it's a rough day for a lot of us who follow the Bengals, who are fans of the Bengals, and who cover the Bengals. So I appreciate you coming on again. Sorry I was a little later going live, for those of you who like to join us live, than usual, but I appreciate all of you tuning in. We've got a lot of live viewers, which is awesome. And in case you have not heard, we are now able to stream live to our Twitter account. So you can get it on the Cincy Jungle Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Orange and Black Insider Twitter account. So check that out and like, subscribe, all that stuff. If you can't join us live, we thank you for downloading the audio afterward. We appreciate your support, and we appreciate everybody who's tuning into our show, tuning into Orange is the New Black with Ace and Zim, or the Chalk Talk episodes. You can get this on all of your major audio podcast platforms.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's bring up the... I thought I had this pulled up here. This is on NFL.com. The scores, if it'll ever load here, the score and stats of the Bengals game. We'll get to that here in just a second. Go over a little tail of the tape. If you go back to even when Burrow was in the game, this was a game that the Bengals really could have ran away with. Randy Bullock left 7 points on the field in the first half, missing two field goals. One was a long one, but one was a gimme. And then, of course, the extra point he missed as well. So, I mean, he left a lot of points in the first half, and the Bengals really could have had a much larger lead than they did. in this game and really, really could have started to run away with this thing, but familiar mistakes, et cetera. Joe Burrow, you know, I guess, I don't know if you want to call it ironic or whatever, but he was having one of his better games. I mean, there were a couple of throws he made where you go, wow, you lucked out that wasn't intercepted. But he had 21 completions in the first half, which was the most by any quarterback in the first half in 2020. So he was kind of dealing in that first half there, 203 yards and a touchdown before he left with the injury. And then you see Ryan Finley's numbers, 3 of 10, 30 yards. And then he also had he had the one run for 19 yards, a pretty impressive run there by Finley. But, and then he had the interception at the end of the game that was pretty yikes. So that's your quarterback snapshot for the Cincinnati Bengals. Nothing doing in the running game. 2 yards per carry for Gio Bernard, 9 carries, 18 yards. Samaje Perine, 5 carries, 19 yards. Burrow had 2 carries for 12. Alex Erickson, just a waste of a end around. One carry for 2 yards there. I mean, just nothing doing in the running game for the Cincinnati Bengals. Just really no semblance of consistency there. Tyler Boyd was having a nice game. 9 catches on 11 targets, 85 yards. AJ Green got his first touchdown of the year and is only one he'll be catching at least for 2020 from Joe Burrow. 4 catches, 41 yards, and a score on 9 targets. Still that disparity between receptions and targets for A.J. Green. Gio Bernard, active in the passing game, 37 yards on 4 catches on 5 targets. Drew Sample had a nice catch early in the game, finished with 2 for 29 on 4 targets. T. Higgins had a real rough day today. A couple of drops, 3 catches, 26 yards on 10 targets. Rough day for T. Higgins. And then Ronald Darby really played his butt off for Washington today. Really played his butt off. I will go to the stats and just say I would venture to guess he had half a dozen pass breakups today. He was incredible. Alex Erickson, 1 catch, 8 yards. Auden Tate, 1 catch for just a lot of blah. You see the fumbles there. One lost by Burrow. Forced fumble by Brandon Wilson there. So Bengals get an interception from Jesse Bates, another one. He had a pretty good game there. He was actually asked to play almost corner on a couple of snaps. He was running step for step with a couple of guys there. So, but, I mean, he's having a great season. Should be a Pro Bowler, maybe even an All-Pro this year. He's having a great season. Another interception for Jesse Bates. And it was off of a tip from Marcus Hunt. So Marcus Hunt had a decent little day today. I saw him being pretty active. So had the tip that resulted in an interception and was you know, in some plays there. So, you know, Marcus Hunt, kind of scrap heap guy, but doing some things. Von Bell did okay. You know, the corners and until the wheels fell off with the Burrow injury, the corners and defensive backs were largely playing okay. William Jackson did allow Terry McLaurin to make a couple of plays, one big one, but you know, he was in decent position in terms of the coverage there. So then he knocked another one away later. You know, those guys were playing relatively well and keeping the game within reach when the Bengals were leaving a lot of points on the board in the first half there. Von Bell, you see, gosh, 13 total tackles, 1 for loss. William Jackson, 3 tackles. He did have a pass breakup. Carl Lawson had a nice day. 5 tackles and a sack. Jesse Bates, the pick and four tackles. Sam Hubbard had a tackle for loss. Logan Wilson had 4 tackles. Mackenzie Alexander had a decent day too. I saw him on a couple of plays. I think he had a pass breakup, 5 total tackles, and really limited some damage on a couple of plays early in the game. Jermaine Pratt, unfortunately, at times, he looked a little lost. And, you know, that's not good to see in this second year of development here. Geno Atkins' impact was pretty minimal. LaShawn Sims had a rough day as well. Got called for a pass interference penalty in the second half that brought Washington way down the field. Had 6 total tackles. So, and then just kind of a lot of other blah there. Randy Bullock, you see here, randomly he hits a 53-yarder, but he can't hit the others. One was actually long. One was 58, and he had the leg on that one too, but he just doinked it off the side, and then he doinked one earlier too. A gimme to start the game. Bengals had a nice drive, put together a nice drive, and he doinked it a lot, and then missed an extra point, obviously, as well. Huber had a good day. The one inside the 20 was right at the 1 yard line there. So that was he had a good day punting the ball, and that may be one of the bright spots going forward, unfortunately, for the Cincinnati Bengals. Given what transpired today, let's look at the Washington side of things. I mean, Alex Smith, incredibly pedestrian day. 17 of 25, 166 yards and a touchdown. Gibson's going to be a fun player in the league. He's a fun player. 16 carries, 94 yards and a touchdown. He's a fun player. McKissick, 43 yards on the ground. Peyton Barber, 28. They were moving the ball pretty well on the ground, and I think they were able to do that once Burrow went down, and they were just kind of playing a little bit of keep away. Terry McLaurin, you see here, 5 catches, 84 yards, but a lot of just nothing beyond that. A lot of just nothing. 3 for 26, 2 for 23. I mean, this was a game that was out there to win for the Bengals. It really was. Chase Young looked very good. I mentioned this earlier. You see the interception by Fabian. Oh, they credited Darby with 4 pass breakups. I swear, I thought he had 5 or 6, but 4. He was everywhere, man. Kendall Fuller had 2. good game from Chase Young. He put a big hit on Burrow early in the game that caused a fumble, and that whole debacle of a call was something to marvel at, I guess. Montez Sweat had a sack of Burrow. And then, you know, you start Tim Settle had a sack. Moreland and Smith-Williams combined for one. And you kind of saw that Kerrigan had one. You kind of saw that when Finley came in the game, you started to kind of see the discomfort level that he had in the pocket. And there were times where he kind of pulled the ball back down and didn't end up making a throw. So major disparity in terms of quarterback play there. Not much else to say, folks. Just rough day. Rough day for the Cincinnati Bengals, to be sure. And we just got to hope that Joe Burrow comes back soon. There is also one quick thing that some Bengals fans on Twitter have decided to do just to kind of, I guess, a little bit of a rallying cry for Joe Burrow in his, you know, kind of low time here with the injury. Some Bengals fans, if you feel so inclined, they're going to the Joe Burrow Hunger Relief Fund. He's been, trying to get that a lot of momentum since he arrived in Cincinnati with the Bengals. So people are kind of showing some solidarity and donating, you know, maybe even $9 because of his jersey number, that sort of thing. They're donating some money to that cause just to kind of say, you know, we're backing you, Joe. So go if you feel so inclined, maybe support that and, you know you're doing something good and helping out a good cause that Joe Burrow's backing. I don't know, just a thought. We're going to look to 21, I guess, now, guys, and hopefully there's some more roster evaluation to be done. There's a lot of work that needs to be done for this Bengals team in order for it to be very competitive, much less a championship-style team in 21. I don't know. I'm looking at some of these questions here. Do we think we'll have a better chance with just Katie Blackburn as an owner? am I crying? No, I'm not crying. Thanks didn't do nothing. I'm not crying. I promise. I've got a little bit of a cold, so I'm getting over one. My nose is stuffy. so anyway, is what it is, and the Bengals will need to make some significant moves in order to we're all crying. It's okay. Thanks. No, Tyler, I don't – oh, gosh. Not even going there. Anyway, the Cincinnati Bengals have a lot of issues that they need to work out in terms of their roster and all of that. they got some work to do. They've got some work to do, and hopefully they make the right steps. And I hate to use the Burrow injury as, you know, saying something, maybe you learn from that, but maybe it is something that they take a step back and say, wow, we really need to make some significant changes in order for us to potentially avoid these kinds of disastrous things. And they need to look in the mirror. They need to look in the mirror for sure. And that's what it is. Thanks, Barry. The only reason to keep interest in the season is the Bengals podcast community. Thanks for the show. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. There are a lot of great Bengals podcasts, as I'm sure a lot of you know. I appreciate that you lump us in with all of those great podcasts, and I appreciate that everybody is tuning in live here. And those who listen after the fact, we appreciate all the support on the show. Keep it to CincyJungle.com for all your news, opinions, analysis, breaking news, all of that.